We now have this week's second feature. Their reign only lasted a few decades, but Norwich's trams helped shape the city centre street scene that we see today. Local historian Chris Weston wrote about the trams for the Evening News this week, and here is Chris speak with the article.
In the heart of a fine city, the bus and the car are still king. But 100 years ago it was very different, as Norwich was in the heyday of the tram age. The electric-powered trams replaced the former horse-drawn bus service, which had been operated by the Norwich Omnibus Company from 1879 onwards. The bright new Norwich tramway system opened on Monday, July the 30th, 1900, when crowds lined the streets to watch the first trams herald the arrival of the city's new transport concept. The initial 15 miles network was later expanded into the suburbs to provide 17 and a half miles of tram connections. The 3-foot 6-inch gauge track enabled the Loughborough-built tram cars of maroon and ivory livery to reach most parts of the city, and the noise they created brought them their nickname, Swish, Rattle and Clang. Norwich's 7 main routes were identified by colours. There were white, red, green, blue, orange, red and blue, and red and yellow. The green route connected Newmarket Road with the Cavalry Barracks, with an extended summer service to Mousehold Heath, terminating at the fountain by the pavilion. Part of the city's medieval street plan was affected by the new transport system. Two examples were at Orford Hill, where the row of shops next to the Bell Hotel was demolished, and the road which was widened at St Andrew's Hill. Most lines were of single operation, with loops at appropriate points for oncoming trams to pass. A tram depot with maintenance workshops, complete with its own forge and wheel lathe, was built at the Sproston Road end of Silver Road. This office block still stands today, having served various purposes in recent decades. To reach the site with its two four-road sheds, trams travelled along Magdalen Street towards Denmark Road, where a spur gave direct access. Electrical power was overhead wires for the whole network, which was provided by a generating station built in Duke Street. When the First World War broke out, the trams played their part too. Ammunition was made at factories on Salhouse Road and was transported along a light railway track through Mousehold Heath to link up with the tramway network. Track for a temporary works route was laid in 1918 to transport armaments and aircraft parts from what was then Mousehold Heath Airfield to Norwich Thorpe GR Railway Station. Some rails laid for this purpose were later recycled from the disused King Street tram route and differed in construction by using wooden sleepers. Travelling towards the Norwich end, the light railway left the passenger tram route at the southern end of Riverside Road. It crossed Thorpe Road, east of Foundry Bridge, to enter Thorpe Station by a spur line. And this continued alongside the main terminus building to a siding which effectively served as Platform 7, where goods were offloaded onto a suitable main line rolling stock for onward transmission. Wagons used for local movements were hauled by 2 government-owned electric tractors. At the end of the war, the line was discontinued and the tractors passed on to the Norwich Electric Tramcar Company, who converted them for tram use. But the rails and sleepers remained in place until the 1930s, and careful study of the area across Mousehold Heath will still reveal evidence of the railway's former course through the woods. On one of my visits, I even found some of the original track ballast. After that, The remnants of the rails could still be seen until the early years of the current century in the station area close to Thorpe Road. As for the tramway system proper, the Eastern Counties Omnibus Company bought it in 1933 and gradually began closing it down to replace it with buses. The final tram swished, rattled and clanged on the night of Tuesday, December the 10th, 1935, amid scenes of cheering crowds singing Auld Lang Syne and church bells ringing out in perhaps mournful celebration. It reached the Silver Road depot at 11 p.m, after which both crowds and staff joined hands for a final rendition of that traditional song. After closure, tramcar bodies could be purchased for £5 each, and by 1955, the only remaining section of track in the city were at the Silver Road depot and in the yard at Thorpe Station. But the street scene changes survive as a reminder of the tram system's brief life.